has to have ghusl before down time. He cannot stay till down time. So that is one of the conditions for fasting. So if intentionally he remains in a state of janabat without making ghusl, the fast is batil. If it is for Ramadan month, it is batil, and if it is for qada of Ramadan month, again it is batil. Issue 332. Whenever a janab is unable to perform ghusl due to there being no water or similar reasons, it is wajib to perform tayammum before dawn, and it is not necessary to remain awake until dawn. Now, we said ghusl is wajib. In case there is no water, or somebody is sick, he cannot use water, or for any other reason, he cannot use water, he cannot perform ghusl, then tayammum should be performed instead of ghusl. And we know tayammum can be done instead of wudu or instead of ghusl in certain conditions which were discussed before. Now here comes an issue. If you do tayammum and his yib, naturally his taharat will be nullified again. Now in this case, should he remain awake till down time, and when down time starts, then he, let us say, pray his morning prayer and sleep? Or no, if he does tayammum, it is allowed for him to sleep till after down time, even if his taharat will be nullified. Here, according to Ayatollah Al-Faygani, said, it is not necessary to remain awake till dawn, because this tayammum is like if he would have taken ghusl. Now, if he would have taken ghusl and he slept, it is okay. Then hadath al-akbar is removed, only hadath al-asghar remains by sleeping. But according to some of ulama, I said no, if he has to take tayammum instead of ghusl, he should remain awake till dawn time. So if tayammum is not performed, the fast is batil. Now if somebody has to perform ghusl and he has not performed tayammum, naturally his fast is batil, because he remains with janabat or with hayd till downtime. And if it is possible for ghusl to be performed and ghusl is not performed until the time is too short, tayammum is wajib for the fast, and if not performed, the fast is batil. And if performed, the fast is sahih. Now suppose one has to take ghusl and he was lazy and he postponed it from 2 o'clock, for example, till 5:15, and for example 5:20 is azan time. Now only 5 minutes or 3 minutes remains for azan, and for intentionally, for a reason or another, he did not perform ghusl. What he should do? We said before, one of the reasons for tayammum is if the time is short. Now because the time is short for him, it is wajib for him to do tayammum, and if he does tayammum, then his prayer, his fast is correct. And for a prayer, he might do ghusl because he has enough time. But for fasting, his fast is okay because he did tayammum. Issue 333. Whenever in a night of the month of Ramadan, a junub sleeps knowing himself to be in a state of janabat and has the habit of waking up, or considers it probable that he will wake up in order to take ghusl, but does not wake up until after the fajr, the fast is sahih. Now if it happens that at beginning of the night, for example, somebody is on janabat, or a woman is on hayd but she gets clean, but then she said, okay, why I should hurry? I'm, for example, usually I will get awake I will take rest for 1-2 hours and then I will get awake and I will do ghusl. Or I am usually awake for sahari and a time of eating for suhoor, then I will do ghusl, there is enough time. And if by chance he continued sleeping till downtime, now is his fast right or not? He said yes, it is all right, because it is not intentionally remaining, it was unintentionally. And if he wakes and goes to sleep a second time with the same expectation of waking up in order to perform ghusl, and as it occurs he does not wake up, then his fast has a qada. What happens, someone he sleeps, let us say 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night, and he says, well, till 5:20 early morning, there is enough time. In the first example, we say if he slept and he did not wake up at all, he says then his fast is all right if he wake up till after Fajr. Now if he wake up at 2 o'clock, for example, and then he said, well, still there is enough time, and usually I am getting up, and I will get up at 4 o'clock, for example. He slept. This is called the second sleep. The first sleep was first, and because he was awake, this becomes the second sleep. Now, if by chance in his second sleep, he slept till Fajr time, then here, qada is wajib. Of course, he has to fast, but qada is wajib. And in the same way, if he awakes the second time and goes to sleep a third time, his fast has a qada, but not, it is a stronger kafara. Though to give the kafara is better ihtiyatan, even in the previous case. Now say if he sleep for the third time he slept, now here not only qada but kafara is ihtiyatan to be given. Issue 334, if a woman who is bleeding the blood of istihadha mutawassita or istihadha kathira, upon whom it is wajib to take ghusl for a prayer of the day like Fajr or Dhuhr and Asr, does not perform that ghusl, according to ihtiyat her fast is batil. So not only janaba and hayd and nafas, but istihadha, if it is medium or huge, then she has to perform ghusl. But if after performing the dhuhr and asr prayer she begins to bleed and she does not perform ghusl until after maghrib, her fast is sahih. So here is another example. If she got heavy bleeding in the afternoon, she did ghusl for dhuhr and asr, and she prayed for dhuhr and asr. Now, is it wajib to make ghusl before maghrib? Said no. Wajib ghusl is after maghrib, and her fast is all right. And if the ghusl of the night is not a condition of the sahhat or validity of the preceding day, although ihtiyatan it is better to perform it.
See, but if the ghusl is not performed the preceding night for the Maghrib and Isha prayer, then according to Ihtiyat, her fast is batal, unless she performs ghusl before the dawn, in which case her fast is sahih, even though the ghusl was performed for the morning prayer. But the wudu of a mustahaba and cleaning or changing their cotton and cloth is not a condition of the fast.
Here is discussing possibilities if she has istikhaba at night and the downtime comes, naturally her, if it is istikhaba mutawassata or kathira, naturally her condition is for the morning prayer she has to do ghusl. Before morning prayer, I mean, there is ghusl is not wajib for her. So he said, should she do ghusl before morning prayer, before fajr, just to be clean for Fajr, or she has to do ghusl after Fajr so that her fast, prayer is arrived and it will not affect the fast. So he said for Ihtiyat before Fajr she has to do ghusl of that. Here the explanation is not very clear what he's saying. The ghusl of the night is not a condition of the sahad of the preceding day. I mean, ghusl for Maghrib and Isha, which is the night, is not a condition that her fasting next day will be affected. The ghusl of the preceding night for Maghrib and Isha prayer will not affect her fasting next day. Though ihtiyat, it is better to perform it. And if the ghusl is not performed for Maghrib and Isha prayer, then according to ihtiyat, the fast is batil. So all is ihtiyat here. To say ihtiyatan, she has to perform ghusl for Maghrib and Isha prayer, ihtiyatan. And if she does not, then she has to perform ghusl before downtime. If she does it before downtime, still is okay. Yes. So what he mentioned, or what he wants to explain actually, what is important is she has to do ghusl before downtime. Now if she did not do ghusl for Maghrib and Isha one night before, and if you join both the ghusl, Maghrib and Isha, and let us say downtime together, for her fasting is okay. The only thing before Fajr, if she does ghusl, and that is okay for her fasting in case she is istikhaba, mutawassita, or kathira. The ninth is to insert a liquid into the bottom, is actually to use enema, is what we want to say, even if in an emergency, but to insert a suppository is not a problem. Well, using enema with liquid will nullify the fast, whether that liquid is water or other than water. Enema with any liquid, it will nullify the fast. But if somebody used not a liquid, suppository for example, that will not affect his prayer.
Cream ointment
that is not a liquid is okay. The tenth is to intentionally vomit
even if in an emergency. But if it happens accidentally or unintentionally, it is not a problem. And this means through vomiting or removing a stone or a worm is not a problem. So removing a...
It should be true one thing, not just removing a stone or a worm. If you do that, then
you can... What does removing a stone mean just? Maybe
a worm.
Yeah, in case a worm comes out in a throat, you take it out, you say that is not vomiting.
You're defining what you mean.
Yeah, but maybe that's what he means. Of course, intentionally vomiting, somebody, well, he feels it's heavy and he wants to vomit, if intentionally he does it, that will nullify his fast. If it does by itself, he got sick and he vomited unintentionally because he is sick, then his fast is okay. There is no problem. And if he's defining here that the vomiting means a real vomiting, if taking something out, if a worm came by itself, though it is very rare case, but it might happen, a worm may come and he take it out, throw it away, that does not mean vomiting, so that is okay. Well, maybe a stone or something in a throat, if you take it out, that is not called vomiting, so that is okay. Issue 335, if someone fasting belches and something comes up into his throat and is unintentionally swallowed, the fast is not batal. And if it enters the chamber of the mouth and is intentionally swallowed, then the fast is batal and has a qadha and also kafara. Furthermore, if to swallow it is haram due to its repulsiveness, then it is wajib to make all the kafaras. Now, belching is not vomiting, actually. So belching will not break the fast. But if by belching certain food came to the throat, and from the throat came in, came back into the stomach, then that is okay. But if it came to the mouth, now from the mouth to swallow it again becomes eating, then that will break the fast and make it batal. And naturally, to break the fast, you have to pay kafara. But now if to swallow something becomes haram, now the vomiting is something bad itself, you know, what we call khabath. And to eat any khabath by itself is haram. So if somebody is breaking his fast with haram things, he has to pay all the three kafaras. I mean, if somebody, let us say, God forbid, drink wine. Now, drinking wine will break the fast, but breaking the fast with haram things, not like drinking water. The drinking water itself is halal, but it will break the fast. So if somebody drink wine, he has to pay three kafaras. It means at'am 16 miskin, giving food for 60 poor, and freeing a slave, and fasting 2 months. So here what you want to say is something which is haram to eat, and it came out by belching to the mouth, and you swallow it, then it is wajib to pay all the three kafaras, because become a far with a haram thing.
Belching
is, well, sometimes little food comes. I mean, very little comes in the throat, up and then come down. Sometimes little gas comes from the throat, up with it, there is little food coming. Usually it is in the throat, you cannot bring it out. Even if you try, it will not come out. So you are allowed to swallow it unintentionally. But if it comes to the mouth, it has to be thrown out, spit out.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
So
is a Muslim
going
to
have to ghusl again?
What?
Is there a Muslim
going
to have to ghusl again and
ghusl?
No.
It's okay.
We should do ghusl and
alright. So is it just only on him and while you are fasting or breastfeeding? What should you
do? The oil henna is okay. To brush the teeth, here gargling is allowed. But water should not go on.
Make sure.
And if it is, if it go unintentionally, again you have to do qada. Even unintentionally, unless if you are doing gargling for wudu of prayer, you know, wudu of say wajib prayer, if to gargling maghmada, then if. I mean, unintentionally water swallowed, it is okay. But gargling for no reason, no genuine reason, not for wudu, it is okay, but if unintentionally water is swallowed, then qada is there.
For example, if you're brushing
your teeth,
make sure that you set everything, there's nothing
left. Yeah. That is okay.
But the salah comes after a while.
No, salah comes after a while is okay, but what I mean, you should make sure nothing to be swallowed. If unintentionally is swallowed, still here qada is there, though it is unintentionally.
And so can you use toothpaste for brushing?
Yes, no, you can use toothpaste for brushing, and you can brush your teeth, and then you spit 3-4 times after washing the mouth from toothpaste completely with water and gargling completely. Not gargling, I mean just gargling for the throat, but what you call just washing the mouth, the teeth. And after washing it with water 2-3 times, all the toothpaste has come out, then you spit 3 times, whatever remaining wetness available, all will come out. And the mouth is completely clean of foreign water. Whatever remains is the saliva, your own saliva.
And while you're brushing, you should make sure that you don't put it in the
fresh
back in the mouth. Just
water. Yeah, well, even if you put it back in the mouth, we have to spit it out.
So henna and all it is okay.
It's okay. Not makruh. Well, about makruhat, it will come. I don't remember if it is makruh. But,
and use the perfume?
It's okay. Use the perfume is okay.
Hair dye.
What is?
Hair dye
is okay. Hair color is okay.
And sir, what is the time of
imsak? Well, imsak time is the same of dawn time,
adhan?
Not different. Adhan of morning. But because we do not know exact timing, whether it is 5:20 or 5:25 or 5:18 or 5:22. So because we are doubtful, that is say 10-15 minutes before Adhan you have imsak, and then 10 or 15 minutes after Adhan you offer your prayer.
After the Adhan?
Yeah, after Adhan.
Okay.
After Adhan, which is known Adhan, let's say 15 minutes before you do imsak, and 15 minutes after that you offer your prayer.
Can I pray with the Adhan after you finish Adhan immediately can offer?
Well, immediately if you are sure it is the right Adhan. But can you be sure of right Adhan?
No.
If you are in a desert and you can see the downtime, yes, of course. The moment you see the Fajr, you can offer your prayer. The same minute. But here you cannot be sure 100% of it. What they say or what they write in the newspaper, that is not something definite. So that is why I say ihtiyat, 10-15 minutes before you have imsak, and 10-15 minutes. So if there is a plus minus ratio of mistake by them, so you can cover yourself with that ihtiyat.
Okay, for example, you can send them after or in the 2-3 at 4 o'clock. And then
when nawafil or qada prayer or recite Quran for 10-15 minutes, you can do all that till you are sure that Fajr is
there. And you don't drink water before the Adhan 5 minutes
Yeah, again, well, before Adhan, before the right Adhan.
The Adhan is usually earlier.
Well, we are not sure, you know. I mean, we don't have a scientific fact to be make it sure. Unless somebody goes in desert, in a place where there is no light, no electricity of the cities. Because wherever you go, there are certain cities where there is light, and you cannot see the exact time of downtime. So if somebody makes sure, fine. I mean, even 1 minute before down, you are allowed to drink or eat. Even 1 minute, even half minute before. But then if you know exactly what is the timing. So what we say this ihtiyat is just to make sure that you have not eaten at time of Fajr.
5 o'clock
is yes, nowadays 5 or 5:05, then you are covering, let me say 5:40 if you pray, that is okay, then you are sure that it is, your prayer is on the right time.
So products made out of beef jerky,
okay, so from a Muslim country, thank you. Yeah, from Muslim countries, okay, there's no harm with this.
But if it's not from Muslim
country,
you have to be sure.
Well, according to Ayatollah Khomeini, he said it is okay because there is istihala, and this is not that thing, unless it is from pig or other things.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is beef or other things, then there is istihala. Yeah. Anyhow, if you avoid it, that is better. If you like to get benefit of the fatwa, it's up to you.
And I know about the somebody was asking about
this halwa that we made up in the China. You get two kinds. You get pure vegetarian kind on this kind of vegetarian. And the other kind of meat is mixed with meat. And you don't know the meat is slaughtered in halal way, then you are not allowed. Because meat you have to make sure. For gelatin, because there is istihala, this gelatin is not the same bone. Something else, so it becomes tahir by istihala. But then, if it is meat available there, or meat products, and you are not sure, meat is slaughtered in halal way, it's coming from a non-Muslim country, naturally you cannot use it. You can use the vegetarian one, it's okay. Yes.
In that, when you define the water, the home, could you see the home of a relative? Is that your relative? Home of a relative in a foreign country? Say, I may visit a foreign country, say, somewhere in America where I have relatives, and I'm going to stay there for less than 10 years.
No.
Would it be defined as a home?
No, that less than 10 days or even temporary stay for 1 year or 2 years or 4 years, this is not your home.
Okay, so the home of a relative is not
home? Nothing to do with relative or parents.
Okay.
It is to do with you. But the wapan, some said your birthplace is wapan. You are born and this place is your wapan. According to some, this wapan will remain all your life. According to other ulama, he says, no, your birthplace is your wapan as long as you are living there. Now, suppose you were born in Bombay and later on you decided to forget about Bombay completely and you come and stay in Dubai, and all your life you decide to stay in Dubai. So now your new wapan is Dubai because you have left, you have completely forgotten your that first wapan. So you have taken second wapan. So that is one of the meaning of wapan. Means in the wapan, if you are left alone, you will stay there. That is how you feel. Now if you have no special job, if you have no special work, if you have nothing to do, where are you going to live? The place you say that I will live there, this means that is your wapan. So usually either you say I will go to my birthplace, this means you are still linked with your birthplace.
and you are away because of study or because of business or because of work or because of marriage, whatever reason, so you are living abroad of your watan. Otherwise you still want, if you have no other engagement, you still will go and live in your birthplace. So that is remains watan. Or sometimes the people say, even if I am jobless, even if I have nothing to do, but still I will stay in this town, let us say in Dubai, unless I am bothered to be thrown out. But even if I beg, even if I have no house, even if I have no job, still my living will be in Dubai. I have no other place in mind to go in the world. So Dubai becomes a new weapon. The third type of weapon is, or similar to weapon, is the place of work. If you are going to work in a certain area, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, now that becomes like weapon for fast and prayer. محل العمل, the place where working. Now the wife will follow her husband and the children will follow their parents in this issue, because they are living with him. And the servant, let us say, or the employee also will follow their boss in this, because they live with him. Now if someone living in Dubai and her husband shifted to Abu Dhabi and his work is in Abu Dhabi, the wife is housewife, so Abu Dhabi is not her working place, but because she lives with her husband, and Abu Dhabi is a place, a new place for the work of her husband, then Abu Dhabi becomes like watan, not watan, like watan. So she doesn't need to have intention of iqama 10 days. But if somebody has no place, he has not decided where to live, and he has no job, he remains 2 years, 3 years, even 4 years, puzzled that I'll stay in Dubai, I'll go to London, I'll stay in America, I'll go back to India, I'll stay in Pakistan, I'll go to Iran, I don't know where I will stay. And he just pull on, you know, now temporarily I am in Dubai, but I'm looking for a proper place, and this temporary may last 2, 3, 4 years. Now even Dubai is not watan for him, and is not a place of work. So if he has intention of iqama in Dubai for 10 days, then his the prayer is full and his namaz, he can pray namaz. But if he does not have intention of iqama, every week he go to Abu Dhabi or to Al Ain and come back for any reason, then he has to pray qasr, and he cannot fast in this condition. So the watan, to summarize it, either the original home or birthplace, or the new one where somebody decided to live in a new city for all his life, or the place of the work which has a similar place like watan.
Can it be a place where you can no longer see the wall of the city? Can it be a place where the municipality or the council has put a limit saying that Dubai ends here, or is Dubai end for the area? So can we consider that as part of the city? Yes, that border, yes, it is the border, but if there are, if the city expands more than that border, and it is regarded as part of the city, then it is part of the city.
I mean, now if you say Dubai and Deira, this is true, but now Dubai and Deira is one city, all called Dubai, for example. So there is a place where the houses of the city will finish.
You enter the border, Oman and Dubai, which
is
after Hassan. This is the border.
No, that is what I mean. Al Mulla Plaza, for example, in Dubai, from going to your Sharjah, Al Mulla Plaza is the last building in Dubai towards Sharjah. So that is the border of the town. Now Hadd al-Tarakhus, when you are far from, let us say, Al Mulla Plaza, that you will not see the building properly, or you will not hear azan called in that room. Let us say 1 or 2 kilometers distance from that, then practically you cannot see the details of the town. You can see the building but not details of the town, and you cannot hear azan said there. So it is 1 or 2 kilometers from That called Haddu Tarakhus. There is two things, the border of the town and Haddu Tarakhus. Usually 2 kilometers, I mean, usually. No, that is 42 counted from the border of the city, not from Haddu Tarakhus. From border of the city, going and coming is 42 and a half kilometers.
Sharjah is
near to Dubai, yes.
Not Qasr.
If you go to Umm Al Quwain, then it is Qasr.
Okay,
so can there be a Qadam
for the Sajda Salah or the Namaz-e Ihtiyam, if you want to read it,
and you can calculate the Qadam of that? Namaz-e Ihtiyam?
Yes,
Namaz-e Ihtiyam
or the
Sajda Salah. Sajda Salah, not Qadam, can be done later on, but Salat-e Ihtiyam, if it is not done, the Salah is batil.
Okay, so Sajda can be done later?
Can be done later.
In
Maghrib,
you cannot
share about
third, or you have
faith
second.
But
you are not sure whether it is third or fourth, Salat
is
batil.
Yeah, if the doubt is there, the Salat is batil.
In Maghrib.
In Maghrib. Whether it is second or third or third or fourth.
Second, you
are
sure.
But
you
have faith
third.
Third or fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, then and maybe fourth or batil. Any shock in Maghrib prayer is batil. Morning, yes. But if it is not a doubt, you think most probably it is third. If there is one, most probably it is third, then you can regard it as third and the prayer is correct.
Okay, sir, and if you know that you're about to start. Okay. Now, do you have to do something like to turn your face away from the
Qibla,
or is it just
batil
because you're near the
Qibla? Yeah, batil, I mean, still to confirm that batil. To confirm that batil, you turn your face.
It's just
to confirm it, yes. Just turn your face to the back, actually. Okay. According to some of ulama, turning face to the right or left will not make the prayer batil. According to some element. So you turn to back to make sure, or you say one word, anything, any sentence, any word, and then Sharim is bothered. Yes.
You perform this Qiyam. You said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You forgot, and again you said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So that is bothered?
No, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, reciting Quran again.
Okay.
Quran again, reciting Quran is, again is okay.
There are so many places here in Sharia Salah that you have to repeat the prayer, you finish your prayer, and then you repeat it. Now, what if you get a doubt while you're repeating that prayer? Again, you have to repeat it again.
Unless you reach a state of kathir shirk. I mean, if 3 times you are doubting, means you are kathir shirk, and in that case, you should not care for your problems.
And if a person is sure that he has missed a rukun, like ruku or sujood, not in doubt, he's sure that he has missed one, then
his
namaz is
okay. He's bottomless, if
he's sure. I'm sorry. I was always wrong.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Well, it is not mentioned in the English section the things which are makruh for the one who is fasting. We just mentioned there are many things which are makruh for the Muslim who is fasting, and these are like putting medicine in eye, the eye drops, also doing anything which will create bleeding, whether bleeding from the skin or taking out the tooth which makes bleeding, all that is not
is makruh. Of course, from tooth extraction, the blood should not be swallowed. If it is swallowed, then it is haram and it will break the fast. So to extract teeth is not advisable. You take time because it will become very difficult to spit always the blood which is there. And after all, doing anything which will create bleeding or giving the blood or like that is makruh. Also taking bath, if somebody feel weak after taking bath, smelling vegetables which has perfume, like just putting perfume itself is not makruh, but smelling certain vegetables which has good smell, that is makruh.
Flowers?
Well, the flowers or the green leaves. And for iftiyat, the women should not sit in water. Some say, in some hadith there is nahi about it. So here it says that is an iftiyat. Maybe iftiyat mustahab. So it is makruh to for the women to sit in water. Using suppository, of course enema will break the fast if it is with liquid, but suppository is makruh. And wearing a wet dress is also makruh. If somebody washes a dress and it is wet and wear it, that is makruh. Doing miswak or using the miswak with a wet type of wood. While putting water in mouth without rinsing, like if there is wudu, then it is mustahab for wudu. There is reason for it. And then after gargling with water, then one may spit three times to make sure all remnants of water have been spitted out. But without reason to take water in mouth and rinse your mouth and throw the water out without reason, that is makruh.
Sir, if you get it from trees at morning, just one
to come. If what?
Morning, like morning, you wake up or afternoon, you wake up,
you
want to wash your face. Or
wash the face, yes, but not to gargle.
Not to gargle.
Washing the face is okay. Not to gargle. Some hadith, khuluf from as-sa'im, the bad smell of the one who is fasting. That with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worth more than other things. So we should not, the one who is fasting should not feel bad about it, because that is even in a hadith mentioned about belief from Sahih.
Mouth wash, you cannot
use
mouth wash.
It is makruh, not haram. Toothbrush, well, again, it is, it should be done before Fajr, but siwak is other than toothbrush. Toothbrush is one type of siwak. So if siwak to be done with dry wood, not with wet one. These are the general things which are makruh for someone who is fasting.